In the gospel reading today, as we hear about our Lord appearing along the way to Mary Magdalene, and we hear this little statement that they embraced his feet and did him homage. The importance of that is to be able to recognize that the resurrection is the real body of our Lord. In other words, if Jesus appeared to you today in a vision, if you tried to grab onto him, your hand would just simply go right through him. He's not physically standing in front of you. But when he resurrected from the dead, and for those 40 days after, he was physically present among the people. His body was a glorified body, and so that means that he could allow it to take whatever form he wanted. Remember the first time when Mary Magdalene saw him? She thought it was the gardener and was wondering where they put his body. She didn't recognize him until he called to her. In this case, obviously, he allowed himself to be seen as he normally would have been, except, of course, with the wounds present that he had received for our salvation. But it is that realization and understanding that when we're talking about the resurrection, we are talking about the real body of Jesus being raised from the dead and glorified by his glorified soul being united. So remember the principle that your soul is the principle of life. That's the definition of a soul, principle of life in a living being. So your body has life because your soul is within it. When you die, your soul leaves the body. Your body no longer has life, but your soul continues to live on. Your personality is in your soul, so your person continues to live on as well. But as human persons, because we're composite of both body and soul, the fullness of our being is only when we are both body and soul. That's what we see with Jesus. So his soul has re-entered his body, but his soul was now in a glorified state. And therefore, when his soul re-entered his body took on that same glorified state. And so in his resurrection, this is not the same as a resuscitation. So when Lazarus was raised from the dead, when the daughter of Jairus was raised from the dead, when the son from the widow of Nain was raised from the dead, those people were resuscitated. Obviously, miraculously, but if you will, similarly to what the paramedics can do these days with their paddles and so on, and somebody has a heart attack, they can sometimes bring them back to life. That's not a resurrection. Those people will all have to die. Lazarus had to die again, so did those other two. But our Lord cannot die anymore because death has no more power over him. He is risen from the dead. He is resurrected, not resuscitated. And in the glory of God that his body now shares in the fullness of that glory, Satan has no power, zero. Not that he ever actually had power over the Lord, but our Lord allowed him to have that power, to be able to put him to death. But he allowed that in order to destroy death, so that we don't have to be afraid. So when we hear even what we're told about the two Marys after they see the angel who talks to them and so on, we're told that they ran quickly, fearful yet overjoyed. That's kind of the way we ought to be looking at death. We don't really need to be afraid, but most of us probably are. Why? If we believe in eternal life, if we believe in the resurrection from the dead, if we truly believe that Jesus has destroyed death and death has no power over him and we're baptized into him, death has no power over us either. So it's a little frightening in the sense that obviously we've never experienced it. We don't quite know what to expect. But it should be a joy because we get to see the Lord. We get to get out of here. I do not for the life of me understand why anybody wants to stay here any longer than they have to. Oh, I wish I could live to be 150. Why? Are you sadistic? Or I guess that'd be masochistic at that point. The goal is to get to heaven. Why do you want to stay here? If God's giving you the opportunity, just like Mary Magdalene, you should be overjoyed and run. Not run away, run to our Lord. Because as long as you're in the state of grace, you're going to go to heaven. Might have to stop off at purgatory for a while, but you know you're going to go to heaven. That should bring us joy. That should remove all fear, because our Lord has already done it for us. And so a good thing for us to be able to look at within our own selves. What's my disposition? If our Lord were to call me home right now, would I be scared? St. Augustine talked about this 1,600 years ago. He said, think about a soldier who goes across, to a foreign country and is there, and he finally gets word that he's going to go home. Would he be scared to go home to his wife and kids? No, he'd be overjoyed to be able to do that. Why would we be afraid to go home to heaven? Why would we be afraid to see Jesus? We put our faith in him. We put our trust in him. We've loved him. Should we be afraid to see somebody that we love? No, we should be overjoyed. That's the disposition we need to have toward death. So yeah, there might be a little bit of trepidation because, again, we don't know what it's going to be like. But the joy should be so much greater. And that's where we need to put our focus, looking forward, looking to what it is that we are called to. This is what our life is about. It's not about this world. It's about the next. Yeah, we have to live in this world. We do the best we can. We try to become saints so that we can be with the Lord for eternity. That's what this is about. Death has no power over you. It's not just death has no power over Jesus. Death has no power over you. So don't be afraid of it. But instead, look forward. Because death isn't the end. It's simply the means. We have to go through that to be able to get to the goal, union with Jesus and eternal life with the Lord forever.